Hello, it's Tuesday the 23rd of April. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I'm back in my puffer jacket. Summer is not coming, eternal winter is here to stay. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we parboil the British press, knock it around a bit, drench it in goose fat or olive oil for our vegetarian listeners, and roast it to crispy perfection. Tell your mates about Paper Cuts and give us a boost. Send three of your most favourite people a text, WhatsApp or email linking them to papercutsshow.co.uk. There's a link you can copy in the show notes. Every person who listens and subscribes helps us keep bringing you the best bits of the papers every weekday. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Leaving on a jet plane, Rishi Sunak finally gets his Rwanda bill passed and says deportations will begin by July. Our house in the middle of our street, the iPaper has set out some rules for being a good house guest, and I can sing a rainbow. It's someone's actual job to name paint colours. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we'd like to wish William Shakespeare a very happy 460th birthday. Many happy returns, big guy. Fair thoughts and happy hours attend on you, especially the happy hours. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and what a piece of work is a man, how noble in reason, how infinite in faculty. It's political sketchwriter and satirist Rob Hutton.
Hello.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east and Fergus is the sun. It's comedian Fergus Craig.
Hello.
Rob, what are the broadsheet front pages looking like today?
Yeah, right, I'm going to bring you right down. The Times, big picture of Hugh Edwards, who has departed the BBC, but the main story is detentions can start in days under Rwanda law. Isn't that great?
Oh, God.
The Daily Telegraph, Rwanda migrants could be detained within days. The Guardian, Met Police Chief praises conduct of officer in anti-Semitism row. Rwanda flights will not start until July. And the I, down over the government, Rwanda plan won't work, Tory critics tell Sunak.
Right, more on all that depressing stuff later. Fergus, any joy in the tabloids or is that all awful too?
Sort of. I've got The Sun, which you'll remember was very angry about what was being done to the St George's Cross. It's St George's Day today. No mention of it on the Sun front page.
Oh, my God.
No mention of it. But instead, they're leading with the story that Hugh Edwards has left the BBC. Daily Mirror is leading with a Jill Dando exclusive. They think they may have found the Serbian assassin who murdered her 25 years ago, face of a killer. Daily Mail, Rwanda, enough is enough. We're ready for Rwanda liftoff.
God, all jonesing for this, aren't they?
And there's a picture of Rebel Wilson, who's been publicising her memoir. Who was the British royal who invited Rebel Wilson to Tycoon's drug-fuelled orgy? It's not revealed who it actually is.
Oh, it's just a question.
So you just
revealed.
Got to guess. Should we libelously guess? Which royal do we think? We got three clues to the identity.
Is it Prince Louis?
Yeah. I mean, he does look like trouble. I mean, there aren't any clues. There's a sort of little pull quote, girls dressed as mermaids. That sounds like a pretty damn good orgy to me. Sounds
great. She said
great.
It was like 15th or 20th in line to the throne. So.
Oh, God, it's someone you've never heard of. Yeah, right. Some random The Honourable Toff.
And the Daily Star leads with Britain's hardest psycho seagull.
That's the real news.
Proud to love animals.
More seagull news. That's what we want.
And they do mark a happy St. George's Day.
There we go.
Oh, and I should mention they also have a story about Joe Biden. Nobody ate Sleepy Joe's World War II uncle.
Yeah, you need a bit of context there, don't you?
Yes, the context is apparently he told a story about his uncle being eaten by cannibals, which is fact checkers have disputed.
Now, this morning's news of the government passing the Rwanda bill puts me in mind of another Shakespeare line, this time from The Tempest. Hell is empty and all the devils are here. Rob, what's the horrible thing they want to do and are they going to do it?
The original idea is that if everyone arriving in a small boat across the channel was sort of grabbed and, without their feet touching the ground, taken to Heathrow where they were stuck on a plane to Rwanda, if you did that, then maybe people would stop trying to cross the channel in small boats. That is the
That's the theory.
That is the theory. The problem with that is that it's a bit like, well, what if we were to machine gun people as they crossed into British waters? Then they'd probably stop coming. Yes, they probably would. But you'd have to, you know, there are problems with that idea as well, which I'm sure probably has been discussed at some point, which is, you know, you have to find people to do this. This has to be legal with the Rwanda plan. It's not machine gunning people, but it has, you have to, it has to be legal. You have to perform some kind of assessment to ensure that these people are safe. And the moment you start doing that, you know, you get lawyers involved and Tory MPs get very angry. So last night, after a great deal of back and forth in Parliament, tremendously exciting voting, the government has got its bill through. And so now Rwanda is a safe country, official.
Right.
Take that, people currently in hiding in Britain under Met advice because of Rwandan death squads.
Right.
You know, you're just malingering.
Okay, well, an excuse to chuck some even more people out. I mean, this is pretty depressing, isn't it, Fergus? I mean, you know, we're not the BBC. I'm not actually obliged to be impartial here. I think I can probably say that this is, not only is it morally disgusting, not that I think we should put that aside, I think it's quite important, but it's incredibly expensive and it's quite hard to see how it'll work. I mean, if people aren't deterred from crossing the channel by the possibility that they might die in a small boat, why would they be deterred by a tiny chance they might be deported to Rwanda?
Yeah, yeah, there is a fault in the logic. We'll sort of see how it plays out. The way I see it is that the Tory party is like a sort of middle-aged, sad man who's very unhappy with his life and has decided that the solution to all his problems is a conservatory. And he's spent years going through getting the planning permission and getting the funds together and dealing with the builders, and 6 years later, he builds the conservatory and then he never goes in there. I think that's my analogy.
I think of it as a party, you know, that you know, sort of has accidentally got divorced and is now living in its car trying to negotiate access to its children. There is a distinct sort of what happened to my life vibe
about the moment. The Rwanda thing. It's just been in the news forever.
Yeah.
And it'll be in a few years' time, we'll be, remember Rwanda? Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing will really come of it. You know, it'll happen probably. There'll be some flights. It won't solve anything.
Now, the iPaper has a feature on the 11 house rules, not 10, 11 house rules all guests must follow. Sophie Morris, who's written it, lives in a quaint Victorian seaside resort. She doesn't say which one, doesn't want you stalking her, thank you very much. So people probably turn up quite a lot at her gaff, hoping to stay for the weekend. Fergus, what are the rules that we should abide by if we want to stay with Sophie?
Well, the rules are pretty interesting. The thing that strikes me most about the piece from Sophie Morris is that, yes, she does seem to get a lot of guests. Will she get many guests now?
Well, maybe that's the idea.
I mean, but it's such, for what I'd imagine is not a huge amount of money that she's earned from this piece, she has slagged off pretty much all of her friends who've come to stay. The rules are never arrive early. I can understand that one.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable.
Don't turn up empty-handed. Always bring a gift. It's like, all right.
There is a distinct... I'm looking at you, Jane!
Yeah, there are definitely a couple of those things.
To each one of these.
Yes.
This isn't a hotel, is another one.
Janet!
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with most of it. One we were interested by is don't strip the bed.
Yeah, I found this a bit odd. Isn't it quite helpful if people do strip the bed?
Yes.
I mean, what on earth is the objection to stripping the bed?
Well, she says
apparently not, Alex.
Yeah. Well, yes, I'm not invited, yeah.
She says ask before leaving the host with a puddle of dirty linen they can't wash until Wednesday.
But it is dirty linen anyway. It's just spread out.
Well, I
on
understand.
The bed.
But if it's on the bed, at least it sort of looks neat and tidy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But once you've stripped it, then in her head, there may be a pile of dirty laundry in the corner that she can't get to because she's got all this other laundry to do. You know?
Well, I wonder if she's always washing between guests, you know.
Yeah, no, that's it, isn't it? It's like, my God, Freddie was only,
they were only in there for one night.
I'm sure he wears deodorant. I mean, so, but these, I mean, apart from maybe that that's a bit odd, most of these sound quite reasonable, don't they? I mean...
Yeah, I think so. There's one she talks about not arriving, you know, arrive with something like a bottle of wine or a dessert or something, but don't arrive with like a whole meal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When my dad arrives, because he's like got some various intolerances, he just arrives with so much bags of food, just starts lumping stuff into the fridge. They'll like, my parents will drive like 6 hours with like a quarter of a pint of milk because they didn't want to leave it.
Rob, what are your house rules when people turn up?
It's not so much that I have rules, it's I became aware that there's a thing that I do when I go to other people's houses. I reprogram their hi-fi and audio equipment so that it works properly, but then is, I suspect, completely unusable after I've left the house.
I have to say, so I slightly relate to this in that basically the first thing I tend to do in someone else's house is turn off motion smoothing on their TV.
Right!
Can't bear it. Sorry, that's going off. Everything is not going to look like 80s TV anymore. Now it's going to look like a proper film.
That thing about motion smoothing, which I'm with you on, because my girlfriend always does that, but what people say when they correct people's motion smoothing, they go, oh, I see, it's the setting, people have it on, but you only need it, it's just for sport and blah, 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 blah. And they always forget that some people actually like watching sport.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
Not people whose houses I go to.
So ultimately, do we think Sophie Morris is going to have any guests left after this? Is that her intention? Are we just warding people off?
Yeah, I think that's her intention, is to just ward everyone off. I
mean, she's got a nice seaside gaff. I'd bring a bottle of wine, come and stay for the weekend. I won't strip the bed if she doesn't want me to.
No, but, I mean, I can always not do it. That is fine.
Drop us a line, Sophie.
I would suggest that whatever WhatsApp group she's in with her friends, today a new WhatsApp group has been set up without her to discuss this piece.
Hello, I'm Ros Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fern, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now on Paper Cuts, headlines are the marshmallows in our hot chocolate. Let's get down with the joy of the headlines of the day. What do you have for us, Rob?
I'm in the sun, as Yay. It were. I mean, I'm not in the sun, but we have a picture of a top pop singer dressed as though she were in an arboretum, and the headline is Triana.
Right, is it Rihanna?
It is Rihanna, yes. Yeah. I guess.
Can I
wouldn't
see
know.
The tree outfit, please?
Right, here we are, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
No, she's gone the full end.
Gosh, it's quite full on. Okay, for those of you who sort of are used to sort of things like the Jack in the Green Festival in Hastings, where people kind of dress up as trees for various pagan reasons, it's very full on like that. I mean, it's
she
not just a green dress.
I mean, if you went deer stalking with her, they wouldn't spot her.
Always good to have a backup career.
I very much like the story on page 3 about the pub in South London, name checked in the new Taylor Swift album. Which has been cashing in on fans dashing in. That's the black dog. And the headline is, Fancy a Swiftie.
Oh.
Pub's profit soar. They say it's an exclusive, but I have read this in at least 2 other papers today.
Yes.
So,
I mean, anyone can listen to Taylor Swift, and most of them do.
And my third one is a headline that I laughed out loud at, and I do think it's excellent. I do also, there's a specific category of headlines that are really, really good, where the chief sub should possibly have said, this is good, son, but we're not going to use it, which has been said to me in the past. A teen lag cut through a wall with a spoon in order to attack another inmate in prison, which is a great story. And the headline is Shawshanking.
Oh, my God.
It is great.
I mean, it is very good.
I do want to know whether the other person survived. That's,
yeah. Oh, my God.
I can't entirely say. That's,
well, I mean, you know.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Fergus, how about you? I think you've got the star.
Yes, more on the giant seagull. Every sentence of this piece is good. A giant seagull as big as a dog is leading a squad of flying goons terrorizing shoppers for food. The jacked up Bugsy... Sorry, the headlines...
You just read the whole thing.
The headline's rubbish. The piece is amazing. The jacked up Bugsy Seagull, named after the US mobster Seagull, is known in Liverpool as the top-level boss. Anyway, and the headline is The Boss.
Yeah, it's a rubbish headline, but my God, we love the story.
As big as a dog.
As big as a dog. What sort of dog? Dog's very
good. Well, that's the question.
A chihuahua? Yeah. Great Dane? I mean, what are we talking here?
And then there's another story in the Star about a park and ride site which has cost £51 million but can't be used as the road in and out is currently unaffordable. The headline is Park and Deride.
Oh, yes, that's really good. Yeah, quite like that.
And also just a great metaphor.
Yes. Yes, there's something, this England.
Yeah. And welcome to Gnome Island, a remote outcrop covered with the ornaments. It's some rocky place. Someone's put some...
Will you be going for the BBC newsreader job, folks?
Yes. Someone's put some gnomes on a rock face. The headline...
Where? At least give us where.
The directory doesn't say where.
Nowhere? No, no hints?
The Rock of Shallow Craig off...
Sounds like maybe
I'm
Scotland?
Just I'm reading... Yes, it's in Scotland.
Okay.
It's just a series of places I've never heard of. Yeah. But the headline is Gnome, Sweet Gnome.
Oh, yeah, not bad. Yeah. Now the features are the bit of the paper where we come to relax after we're done with the serious news and just want to chill. Where The Guardian smugly tells us about the culture we'll never have time to enjoy, The Times tells us why we must burn our trousers and only wear white, and Female reminds us that we'll never be good enough and you're a fool for even trying. Now today we do have a story from The Guardian about the unsung heroes of our society, the geniuses who name paint. Yes, paint. Rob, can you tell me more about this?
This is a small but perfectly formed piece in The Guardian by Emma Beddington about paint names.
Yay!
And she's accompanied a friend paint shopping. And it's a light piece, and I just think it's great. And it's just the sort of the ridiculous name. So she decided that one brand's paint names, I decided, mainly fell into two name categories, Posh Girl or Posh Girl's Pony. So Jonquil, Evie, Pomona, Clove, Tawny, Brick and Buff are all Posh Girls.
Definitely.
And Pippin, Gladstone, Teddy, Tyrion and Pompadour are their ponies. And
Fergus, you're quite into paint colours, I think, or the naming of them at least.
I would love that job. It's like coming up with names for racehorses or bands. I think I'd be good at it. Do you know what I mean? Like racist landlord.
Yes, I can see what colour that is, sort of pucey pink.
Yeah. Sleepy Joe. That's good. Isn't it? Just looking at the Star. Yeah, just go. If you just pick out random phrases, I'm just going through the Star to look for... potential
Spitfire. If there isn't a paint colour called Spitfire,
that's good. Blackjack Typhoon.
Yep.
Oh.
Shakespeare. Just like, just random. I'm just going through the Daily Star and picking out random phrases. Hats off, Brenda. I mean, that's more racehorse, isn't it? But
I don't know. It's pretty good for a paint name. So I've got a little quiz for you. Okay. I'm going to say the name of a paint colour and I want you to tell me if it's real or fake, please.
Let's go.
Clunch.
Oh, I know. Our hall is in Clunch. I know that one.
Your hall is in Clunch.
Our hall is in Clunch.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
up in the loft, there were several tins with clunch written on top. So that's the one I know.
That's like something like a surveyor would say. I'm afraid the hall is in clunch.
Okay, let's see how many of these Rob has in the attic. Drop cloth.
I haven't got that one.
I mean, I would say...
Like, that sounds real to me.
I would say no.
A between cream and grey, I would say.
It is true. Smacked cheeks.
These are all going to be true, aren't they? That's the trick.
I believe in smacked cheeks as well.
It's false.
No.
I can immediately see that colour. You'd
have one wall in morning room red, and the other walls would be in smacked cheeks.
If I close my eyes, I have no sense of what clunch looks like. but smacked cheeks.
You have to come round.
Samuel's olive.
I'm going to say yes, that's true.
Okay, no, okay, I'm going to say no, that's not true.
Rob is correct, it's not true.
Okay.
Guilty as sin?
I'm just going to keep going, yes, true.
I think that might be real.
It's false.
Oh. No.
And morning glory?
No, you wouldn't, you just wouldn't, would you?
I'm going to say true.
Fergus is correct. It is, in fact, true.
Do I want to know what colour morning glory is?
Isn't it a type of flower as well as, you know, another thing?
Maybe.
So it's probably that, whatever
right,
that looks like.
Not a
like.
Kind of
not
throbbing
something else.
Pink or something.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Rob Hutton.
Thank you.
Thanks to Fergus Craig.
Thank you.
Don't forget the Papercuts Supporters Club. Ditch those ads, get more fun from just £3.60 a month. Head over to papercutsshow.co.uk or follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our supporters for helping to make the show today.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. Thanks, Eric Power.
One week she's in polka dots, the next week she's in stripe. Thanks, Gail Tulk.
Her world is built around discotheques and parties because she's a dedicated follower of fashion. Thanks, Aoife Murray. I've been Alex von Tunzelmann and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when, another seagull story, a 9-year-old British boy has won a European screeching championship with his uncanny impression of a seagull. Cooper from Chesterfield said of seagulls, "I feel like they're a really nice animal. I like them because of their noise." I love him. Just as long as he doesn't start stealing my chips at the beach. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelmann with Rob Hutton and Fergus Craig. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams. The group editor was Andrew Harrison. The managing editor was Jacob Jarvis. And the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.